I have a little burden on my heart. Serious. I'd like to start in Mark the 8th chapter. I want to talk on something that's dear to my soul tonight. My throat's giving me a little bit of trouble. My right ankle's giving me a little bit of trouble. I don't know what's wrong with the ankle totally, but I need the Lord's help. So as I coined a phrase in Shawnee when I was there and started having physical problems in 06, I said, "You pray, I preach." And it's never failed to work. So you please pray and the Lord have mercy on me and help us, and we'll try to deliver our little burden tonight. 8th chapter of Mark, 34th verse, we'll start reading here. "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, and the gospel is the same, shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Now, what I want to deal with tonight, the value of your soul. But I want to put another angle to it too. How much do you love your soul tonight? The bottom line is, if you and I are going to make heaven, we're going to have a love for our own soul. We have a valuable soul. It says here, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" His soul, his valuable soul. Listen, folks, tonight, the soul that belongs to you, that was given by God to you individually, is the most valuable possession that you own tonight. It's more valuable than anything in the whole world. One soul. Now, I'm not talking about a community of souls. I'm talking about one soul, your soul tonight. I want you and I to zero in individually on ourselves. A lot of times in meeting people, I look here, look there. They need it, they need it. Listen, folks, we all need it tonight. We need the fact that you and I have a soul. It's alive. It's going out into eternity. It's going to be God. It's going to live in eternity from that point on through all time. And so consequently, you and I need to consider, weigh, think exactly how valuable your soul is tonight. Your soul is a very valuable possession that you have tonight. What shall it profit a man? Now, a soul is worth more than all the jet airliners in the world. It's worth more than all the big homes, little homes, and homes everywhere around the world. It's worth more than all the land that you can have anywhere in the world. It's worth more than all the trains, all the buses, and all the different buildings and assets that men, rich men, and so forth own. Listen, there's men among us, or not among the church, but around the world, that are worth billions of dollars. Your soul is worth more than all of Warren Buffett's, Bill Gates, all of those men put together. Your soul is worth more than that tonight. Your soul is very, very valuable. It's very, very precious, and it is your soul tonight. Let's go to 119 and 109 of Psalms. I didn't have this one written down. This has been coming to me. It said, "My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law." My soul. So it's saying here tonight that you and I have control here. What are you going to do? How much are you going to love your precious soul? How much are you going to be willing to give to get your soul saved? There's a lot of people tonight that do not want to give everything and turn loose and surrender and do the things that God would have them to do. They get to a place and they recoil back. They get to a place and they say no. They get to a place, "Well, I can't do that." Listen, folks, tonight, it's your soul. It's in your hands. You have control tonight. What are you doing with something that is so valuable as your precious soul tonight? More valuable than everything. You don't own anything, and everything you own altogether is not as valuable as your soul. Most people tonight that have something valuable take care of it. They watch over it. They protect it. If it's a car, they wash it, they clean it. If it's a home, they take care of that. If it begins to need repair or whatever, they repair it. They do things to it. I just talked to somebody the other day, and they're putting down a new floor in their home. They needed a new floor, so they were putting it down. So consequently, something that is valuable to you, you take care of it. Do you realize that I believe it's called the Hope Diamond that's in the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C.? That diamond is where nobody can get to that diamond. It's valuable, see? It's very precious in the eyes of man. And so consequently, they don't want anybody to be able to get it. Instead, it's in a safe... That safe is such a way that if you broke the glass in front of it, there's a trap door that drops that diamond down. It goes into another safe somewhere down below. You can't get it because it's valuable. I'm going to tell you tonight, you need to give your soul to God. You need to allow Him to work with that soul. Listen tonight, we need to have the washing and the workings of the Spirit of God with our soul and washed in the blood, the Holy Spirit to sanctify us and fill us and give us power where we can go about and do what God would have us to do tonight. But people don't pay close enough attention to their soul. It's your most valuable possession tonight. It's yours. What are you going to do with it? How quick are you going to do something with it? A house, like Sister Maxine was preaching the other day, left to itself comes to ruin. And it don't take very long, as she brought out. It doesn't take very long. Well, you and I, with our soul, we need to take continually working with that soul. That's the reason we come to meeting. That's the reason we have prayer and fasting and personal devotions and so forth. Is the fact that it's our soul involved here. But I don't know how much maybe we just circumvent in and look at and consider, this is my soul I'm taking care of. It's your soul, folks. It is your soul that you're taking care of tonight. My soul is continually in my hand. What are you doing with it tonight? What are you doing with it? He said, yet do I not forget thy law. I'm going to tell you tonight, we don't want to forget the law of God. The reason America's in the mess it's in because it forgot the law. It forgot the law. It's quit praying. You can't put the Ten Commandments out anywhere, hardly where anybody can see it. And all of this kind of situation is putting things where it's not what it used to be. And consequently, the power of God is backed off. And man's soul has got themselves in a real mess. They need to seek God. Let's go to 19th chapter of Proverbs. 19th chapter of Proverbs. And about the 8th verse, 19th and 8th of Proverbs, he that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul, and he that keepeth understanding shall find good. He that getteth wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom, Bible says. And tonight, you and I need to have that fear of God. A lot of people in the world has forgot the fear of God, has gotten away from it, left it, walked away from it, don't want to have anything to do with it tonight. It says, he that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. It is wise tonight to hear the Word of God. It is wise tonight to yield to the Word of God. It is wise tonight to pray to God. It is wise to make steps towards God, to seek God, to do the thing that God would have you to do, to live the life and so forth. This is wisdom. And if you do that, it says He loves His own soul. Oh, tonight, how much do we love our souls tonight? All right, let's go to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3 and about the first verse, 2 Timothy 3, 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Dangerous times. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth speakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. It said that this know also that in the last days. I could be wrong, but I think we're living in the last days. We're living in perilous times. We're living in dangerous times. We're living in the worst times that's ever been in my 64 and a half years of life. It is times that you can't hardly even go out on the street without possibly taking a chance of getting killed. There's shootings and road rage and all of these everywhere, all over the country. I hardly even hate to look at the paper or maybe look at something for the very fact of the fear that there could be somebody killed by the numbers. Here, there, or younger. You know why this world is in the mess it's in? Is because Babylon and the people has opened up the gates of sin. And what I mean by that is they've okayed homosexuality. They've okayed gay marriage. They've okayed all of these things that the Bible condemns and stands against. And the world's saying it's all right. Even Babylon itself is saying it's all right. And consequently, out of sin, they've opened up a floodgate and that thing is turned loose and it's running at a rapid speed and the morals of this nation is hitting rock bottom. Oh, tonight, and those precious souls are tied and chained and bound. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Our world is full of people that love their own selves. They want to take care of self. Now I know there's got to be a certain amount of care for you and I, but the bottom line, people take it too far. Tonight, there is multitudes of people in the world and around about that love themselves more than they love God. That love pleasure more than they love God. They're encroached in loving of their own selves, pampering it, taking care of. Well, I don't want to go to meeting. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. And the bottom line is they love themselves. They want the fleshy things of the appetite, fleshy things of the body to be pampered and taken care of. And they'll go great lengths to do it over and over and over. We've got multitudes of people that are lovers of their own selves tonight. Are you? Do you love your own self? John 12 and 25. St. John 12 and 25. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. So he that loveth his life. Tonight, if you and I love our lives more than our soul, more than God, and pamper and do everything that the life and the devil wants you to do, that's going the wrong way, you're going to be lost in the end. You're going to lose everything, bless your heart. I know of a case in a place where a man had a tumor, had an aneurysm in the brain. And after I went there to pastor, I went there in the summer, and this was up in the latter part of January, and got a prayer request in that this man was in the hospital, had pain in his head and so forth, and they was asking him or asking for prayer and so forth. And I said, well, where's he at? I said, let's go visit him and spend time with him. I knew who he was. He was the son of a pastor, a former pastor of that congregation. His father had a great name, a great individual all the way around. And so this man was there and went there and I begged him and I pleaded with him and I cried with him, so to speak. I said, listen, here's what you need to do. It's time to get saved. It's time to turn away from sin. It's time to look to God. And I pled with him and I worked with him and I couldn't get anywhere. And that went on I don't know how many times. Finally, on February 1st of 1999, he had a massive operation. It took about 8 or 9 hours. Bulk of his family was there and I was there, and the surgeon come out and said that aneurysm in his brain was as big as that doctor's fist. That was the first of 4 surgeries. That man, we kept dealing with him. He had been dealt with. God had called him and worked with him. I know of a fact in a tent meeting one night that he walked out of that tent meeting under heavy conviction, and somebody followed him and the woman he was living with out to the car and begged them to get saved. And they turned it down. I begged them. I don't know how many other people begged them. And he kept turning it down. He loved his life more than he loved his soul. And so he kept going. Operation 1. Operation 2. And the further he went, folks, the worse it got. He had a business. He lost that. He had a wife. He lost her. Had a son. He lost him. Had a home. He lost that. He was down when I left that place and moved another time. He was in a nursing home and he stayed there till he died of cancer sometime later. I was told he finally got saved before he died. Somebody told me that. But the bottom line was he loved his life more than he loved his soul. Listen, folks, when we're in a situation in life and death, the most that we can do is give the greatest consideration to our soul and to what we're going to deal with on the other side. It don't matter what happens to your body. The fact is, if you love your life more than you love God and love your soul, you're going to get yourself in trouble. And that's what happened to this man. It is one of the saddest cases, Brother Michael, I've seen in my ministry. And it hurt me deeply because you try and you try and you try and they turn it down and they turn it down and they go down. And he ended up losing it all. I'd go to visit him in the nursing home, talk with him and so forth. But he had done lost it all. I'm thankful that if he did get saved, he did finally make a change. But he could have something better than that, folks. He didn't have to have that. He didn't have to lose it all. Listen, folks, tonight, what have you got that is more valuable than your soul? Nothing. If you lost everything, that's one thing. But if you lose your soul, folks, you've lost it all. Oh, tonight, love of their lives. All right, let's go to Deuteronomy 11. Deuteronomy 11, please. Deuteronomy 11:13, we'll start reading. "That shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I'll give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain, the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn, and thy wine, and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, lest you perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Therefore shall you lay up these words in your heart, and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets before your eyes." Now it said there, it said, "And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God." Listen, what does it say in the New Testament? What is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. That's still a commandment today. That is not something that you and I can just pass off lightly. The Lord wants you to love Him. To love your soul, you got to love God. That's where it all starts, right there, is having a love affair, so to speak, with Jesus. And you do that. And He says here what He'll do to you naturally. But listen, folks, there's going to be some glory in the way that He takes care of the soul, too. Listen, go get involved with loving God. Get involved in the depths of working with Him and doing things for Him and so forth. I'm not talking about preaching here. I'm talking about just taking care of your soul and being blessed and being encouraged and uplifted and having the good things of God ringing down in the depths of your mind and your heart over and over and over. Tonight, listen, the Lord wants to bless you. He wants to help you. He wants to deliver you. He wants to uplift you and encourage you. Oh, it said to love Him with all your heart and with all your soul. Oh, tonight, how much do we love God tonight? How much do we love God tonight? That is a start of having a relationship to take care of your soul. All right, let's go to Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66 and 3. I don't want to hold us too awful long tonight. Let's go 66 and 1. "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things which my hand made, and all these things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is a poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man, and he that sacrificeth a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck, and he that offered an oblation as if he offered swine's blood, he that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their souls delighteth in their abominations. Tonight, part of the problem with the world is they're delighting themselves in their abominations. Psalms 88 and 3, in connection with this, Psalms 88 and 3. Writer said, for my soul is full of trouble, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I'm counted with them that go down into the pit. I'm as a man that have no strength. Now, he said, for my soul is full of trouble. The reason men's souls are full of trouble is because of the abominations that they're involved with. By the multitudes. This world don't know what righteousness really is anymore. They don't know what godliness is. They don't know what real love of God is. They do things and they go to church and they lift their hands up and so forth. But the bottom line is, there's a lot of people that is involved in abomination, and they love them by the multitude. They love to be involved with them, and they do these things over and over. And he said, my soul is in trouble. That's the reason it's in trouble. Is because they've gotten involved in things they should have never gotten involved with. Oh, tonight, there is things that's happening now that wasn't happening 25 and 30 years ago, 40 years ago. It wasn't that way. Listen tonight, you and I, we need to love our souls so much that we would be willing to walk away from anything, any abomination in the eyes of God, any sin, big or small, that would hinder us from making heaven. If we love our soul enough, we'll be willing to walk away from that and come to Jesus and get help in every way. That's what people need to do tonight. Our world is full of sin, abominations, wickedness, iniquity. All of these things it is full of. And it is doing great damage to the people that is in this world. Let's go to Job 21:23. Job 21:23. One dieth in his full strength, being wholly at ease and quiet. His breasts are full of milk, and his bones are moistened with marrow. And another dieth in bitterness of his soul, and never eateth with pleasure. They shall lie down alike in the dust, and the worms shall cover them. Oh, tonight, Psalms 142:4 of Psalms. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me, no man cared for my soul. I cried to thee, O Lord, I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. Thy righteousness shall compass me about, but thou shalt deal bountifully with me. All right, Job's sin, again, he's bringing out here, he said, and another died in the bitterness of his soul. A lot of people are hung up with bitterness tonight. It starts out usually as a hurt. It starts out usually as an offense, turns into anger, turns into bitterness, and that thing begins to eat like a canker, like a sore. We have a nation, folks, that is full of bitterness. We have multitudes upon multitudes of people that is so hung up and so tied and bound by this thing that there's no way they can get loose but by the power of God. They're bitter, real bitter. They're bitter at people. There was a person one time that was sitting talking to another person and the person that was listening to the one, let's say the one over here and the one over here, this one's listening, this one, and this one told me later, said this one over here was full of bitterness. Said all he could talk about was bitterness and anger and so on. He was very upset about some things, and he carried it on. Had a letter one time from a person, they wrote, I'd made an appeal about something to try to get some information, and they wrote a letter, and that letter was full of bitterness. They were slamming people going and coming. And they got us on the phone one time, Becky and I, and let us have it with old Barrels too. They were very bitter about some things. Listen, folks, tonight, I beg you, the way to take care of bitterness is the blood and the power of Jesus Christ tonight. It will help you. It will take care of you. If you're dealing with bitterness down in your heart and your mind, I want to plead with you. Get rid of it, praise God. Come to Jesus and say, Lord, I don't like living like this. The person that's hurting is you. It's not hurting anybody else. It's hurting you. It's eating at you. It's working at you. And tonight, you need help. Are you bitter about something? Are you angry about something? Oh, tonight, our world is so angry and so bitter. It is pathetic. It's sickening, really. And they're hung up on these things. And they won't turn them loose. Sometimes they can't turn them loose. But tonight, there's a way out of that. And that's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ can help to help you. He says, "Thou art my refuge and a portion." Back to Psalms 142. It said, "No man cared for my soul." But he gets on down in there. He says, "Attend to my cry, for I'm brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutor, from they, for they are stronger than I." Listen tonight, bitterness is stronger than you. It is an enemy that is tying you and changing you, and it's going to take God to get you out of that. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. He is turning to the right place. He's crying out to God. He's seeking deliverance for the position that he's in, and that's what you need to do tonight. Bitterness. Are we bitter tonight? Let's go back to Deuteronomy 13. Deuteronomy 13 and 6, I believe I want. Deuteronomy 13 and 6. How much do you love your soul tonight? Do you love your soul enough to give all to get what you need tonight? If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son or thy daughter, are the wife of thy bosom, are thy friend, which is thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, name thee of the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee, are far off from thee, from one end of the earth, even to the other end of the earth, thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shall thou spare, neither shall thou conceal him. But thou shalt surely kill him. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of the people. And thou shalt stone him with stones that he die, because he has sought to thrust thee away from the Lord, thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And all Israel say, hear and fear, and shall do no more any such wickedness as this is among you. Now, the Lord was very precise in protecting His people, but they didn't listen very good. They kept getting involved in the very thing that hurt them over and over and over. They got involved with idol worship over and over. So He's getting pretty strong here, and letting them know, point blank, that if any of your family, right on down the wife of thy bosom, thy son, thy daughter, whoever it might be, said, let us go and serve other gods, said, don't do it. Don't get involved with that. Stay away from that. Listen, folks, tonight, your soul's involved. Your soul is involved in this. And if people are trying to lead you away from God, I'm going to warn every saint in here, don't tarry to run from that thing. Run to God. Don't run with them, but run to God. There is people that will tempt you, entice you, and do everything they can to get you to move away from the God of your soul. In 1975, the Lord spoke to me real plain. I want the young people to listen real close to what I'm saying. I wish every young person had what I had. I've never heard of it, and I don't know why he done it to me, except it's put a real fear in my soul. But in 1975, I come down here at the Hammond Camp meeting. Going to confess a little bit. There was pretty girls down here. I was wanting a wife. That's one reason I come. And I looked around the different ones. Rebecca Ann was down here, and there was others, attractive girls. And I went back home, and I was getting ready one morning to go to work. And God walked up right here by me. And He spoke to me in an audible tone that I could hear with this ear. And He told me, He said, you let me, if you're going to be a minister or a preacher for me, you let me pick your wife. And then He gave me a vision, so to speak, of what it would be like to have the right wife or the wrong wife. And the right wife would be one that would help me, encourage me, work with me, go with me, and do the things that I needed her to do in married life, in raising children, and in sickness and health, and all the different things that you go through. And He showed me that's the type of wife right there. And then He showed me the other side of it. And the other side was she would do everything she could to pull you down. And eventually, if she kept on, you could be lost. Be lost. Listen, folks, tonight. The wife of your bosom, your family, whatever it might be. I want to beg you tonight, saints, if anybody is saying, let's go do this or let's go do that, I want to beg you to turn and run for your life. Amen. Joseph ran. Joseph fled for his life. Listen, there's other things. That was a deal of fornication. But listen, there's a lot of people tonight that are giving in to things less more than that. And that's just the beginning of what happens to people that takes them right on down and gets them on the broad way in a deep way. Oh, tonight, your soul. How much do you love your soul? How valuable is your soul to you tonight? Oh, look at it. Consider it and weigh it. Your soul is valuable tonight. Let's go to Proverbs 19:15. Proverbs 19:15. We'll be through here in a little bit. Slothless casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. He that keepeth the commandment keepeth his own soul, but he that despiseth his ways shall die. That's it, an idle soul. Saints, we need to be up and about our Father's business. Sometimes we can make a real good little excuse. Well, I don't really feel like going to meeting. Well, if you don't, all right. I mean, if you got a legal excuse not to go. But sometimes we use a little bitty excuse to keep us from going, so to speak. Well, I just don't quite feel good tonight. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. An idle soul shall suffer hunger. You and I need to be about taking care of this valuable soul. This soul is valuable. If you had a valuable racehorse, if you had a valuable show cattle, if you had a valuable dog, or something of extreme value, I guarantee you'd take care of that animal. I got off the plane in Lexington, Kentucky a year ago, and usually, I don't know how many of you have flown very much, but usually the airport demonstrates what's in the area. Well, what do you think was right there meeting me when I got off the jet? Walked into the airport, and it was racehorses everywhere. And there was one had a deal up there, said one horse sold for $1.5 million. Pretty valuable animal, wasn't it? pretty valuable. Listen, your soul is worth more than many, many racehorses. And don't allow yourself to get idle and not take care of to feed, to go to church, revivals and camp meetings and prayer meetings. Get involved in doing the things that will feed and bless your soul, praise God. Some Bible studies with your own self. Brothers, fathers, I want to ask you a question. When it comes to the spiritual side of the home, are you taking the lead? With the children, are you taking the lead? Are you saying that we're going to gather for worship here tonight, children? We're going to read, we're going to pray, we're going to study, whatever it might be. And are you taking the lead of those things to help those children, to teach them, and to ingrain and to instill the Word of God in them? He said, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll should not depart from it. The bottom line is, he has something in there for God to work with. You and I need to do that. We need to do it for ourselves. If you have the Word of God written on the fleshly tables of your heart, God has something to work with, even if you don't have the Bible where you can get your hands on it. He can take that. He can bring Scripture back to you and biblical stories, whatever it might be. That can be a blessing. Songs like was preached the other morning. We need to know these things. We need to have them written. Need to have them down where God can use them, praise God. There may be a time that you need to testify to somebody. Don't have the Bible with you anymore. About everybody's got a Bible on their phone. I do. I've got eSword on my phone. I've got the new Evening Light deal. Joseph Daniel helped me get that, figure all that out. And all of this is a lot of times on our phone, so we pretty well have it all with us. But what happened if you didn't have it with you? What can you bring out? What do you know down in there that God could touch and open up to you? Oh, tonight, Lord help us. An idle soul. Oh, tonight an idle soul shall suffer hunger. If you and I don't do what we ought to do, we're going to get ourselves into trouble. We're going to get ourselves into trouble. An idle soul shall suffer hunger. And it'll get hunger and hungrier and hungrier. Anytime you go to getting hungry, people go to searching for something to eat. They want something. They'll get it. If there's any way, they'll get what they need to sustain life. Listen, folks, we need to remember our soul is worth more than our body. All right, let's go to 1 Kings 11 and 35. Two more places of reading, I'll be through. First Kings 11 and 35. But I'll take the kingdom out of his son's hand, and will give it unto thee, even 10 tribes. And unto his son will I give 1 tribe, that David my servant may have a light always before me in Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen me to put my name there. And I will take thee, and thou shalt reign accordingly to all that thy soul desireth, and shall be king over Israel. And it shall be, if thou wilt hearken unto all that I command thee, and will walk in my ways, and do that which is right in my sight, to keep my statutes, my commandments, as David my servant did, that I will be with thee, and build thee a sure house, as I built for David, and will give Israel unto thee. And I will, for this effect, the seed of David, but not forever. Now he says here, 37th verse, he said, I will take thee, and thou shalt reign according to all that thy soul desireth. What's your soul desiring tonight? Your soul was created to worship God. Your soul was created to worship, to live for, to have an intimate relationship with God. He created man for that. He didn't have to, but He made somebody that had a will whereby that you and I could be with Him, visit Him, talk to Him, worship Him, reach out to Him, plead with Him, beg for Him, pray to Him, fast to Him. All this connection, being real close to God. He wants a person that desires a close relationship with God. One, and what is your soul desiring tonight? What is your soul reaching out after? Why are you here in this meeting? What are you desiring in this meeting? Do you need help? Do you need victory? Do you need more power? Do you need more overcoming in one way or another? Listen, folks, tonight, the Lord said, I'll give it to you. What are you desiring? What are you desiring? I'm going to tell you, some people just come to meeting to be coming to meeting. But there's more to it than that, folks. There is more to it than just showing up. Amen. There is power. There is glory. There is victory. There is all different things for you right here in this meeting, right tonight. It's here. So what is your soul desiring? Your soul is desiring a closer walk with God. It's desiring victory if it don't have it. This is what the souls desire. How much do you love the soul to give it what it desires tonight? You know in there that you need help. There have been people that have put things off for years and have gotten older and older and still have something in there that is troubling them and bothering them, and they just keep going on and on and on and on. And listen, the soul is desired to have some real victory, praise God. But they're not getting it. The Lord's saying, I've got it for you. I've got it for you. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? I've got it for you, child. Come on. I've got it for you. Your soul is crying out. You know what you need. I may not know it. The other ministers may not know it. Brother Michael may not know it. But you know it. You know what your soul is asking for. You know what it's desiring for. I want this. In the quiet of the night, the Lord touches and deals with people's hearts during meeting, during the cars, in the homes, in the work. Listen, God reaches down and touches those things that is not pleasing to God. And your soul's going, I need help. I need help. My soul is desiring victory. And you're just going on. And going on, listen, folks, there's people around the camp, the saints could fire this thing up big time if they get where they ought to be. Watch out now, Brother Carl. Well, I wasn't born yesterday, either spiritually or physically. I've been around a while. I've seen some things. And tonight, your soul is desiring something good from God. Something better than you've ever had, praise God. A deeper walk, a greater glory, a greater blessing. How much glory have you had? How much have you prayed through? How many times in the last few weeks that you know God heard and answered prayer? How many times have you been blessed down deep in the preaching of the Word and the different things that God has brought out? Or you just kind of skimmed across them and your soul's going, I want more than more and more of that. Lord, help us tonight. The Lord wants to turn things around. Wants to fire things up right here in LaRonda. He wants to turn things loose. But you're the one that's going to have to do it tonight. It rests in your hands. You have control of it. You can go on and do the things that you've been doing and not have the real victory, kind of just floating along, so to speak. Or you can get out into business and you can really get a touch from God. Is God real? Does He still exist? Is He on His throne? Is He there giving victory? Yes, He is tonight. How much do you love your soul tonight? All right, in closing, 1 Peter 4:19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Now, this is a valuable soul. And like I said, if you had something that was very valuable, you would take care of it. there's somebody you need to commit this whole thing to. You need to give it to Him. You need to say, here, Lord, it's too valuable for me. I want You to work with it. I want You to take it. I want You to protect it. Listen, folks, we cannot get to heaven by ourselves. Amen. There's nobody going to get to heaven without by yourself. It's going to take God to get you there. And if you're willing to reach out, and if you love your soul enough, and you say, Lord, I want what You have, I'm going to tell you, He'll tell you to commit it, to give it to Him, to let Him work with it. Give it all to God. That is the problem. People are not surrendering. They're not getting down where they ought to be. They're floating on a plane that's just a little bit too high. And they need to get down exactly where they need to be for the Lord to bless them. Really pour it out unto them. But they're holding back. Are you holding back? Are you keeping the Lord from doing what He wants to do? Listen, folks, we can tie His hands with unbelief. We can tie His hands by willfully saying, I won't do it. Oh, how much do you love your soul tonight? We appreciate your time and attention. Pray for me. Now let's stand and have a number.